Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We just want to go right into today. We have lost two generals in the last 30 days, yeah. but the last couple hours, yesterday, a general, Steve Hill, had gone to get his reward, receive his reward, and the whole world just wonders.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, with such a general absent, you know, what's it going to be like when you think about it? And we're also going to talk about Bob Jones. Bob Jones is another general that's gone to be with the Lord. And I wish we had a clip. Hopefully we'll have a clip in the second program today about a man that didn't promote himself, didn't promote his ministry, but he affected everybody.
Yeah, millions.
Millions. And all the leaders, many of the leaders, pretty much of all the streams, were honoring him on Valentine's Day. But Steve Hill has gone to be with the Lord, and we have a lot to share with that about that, yeah. Because this is a man that means a lot to us, and a lot of people know him from a distance. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know him from a couple pews back, and we had the privilege of spending some time with him.
Yeah,
and it just makes you really think, you know, before we get into it, about it's just we need to remember and honor those who have come before us and what they've done. And when you're looking at VFN TV and the daily radio program and all the things that we had the privilege of being able to participate in, this was birthed in the fires of revival.
Yeah.
It was birthed in the fires of revival. And under Steve Hill and Brother John Kilpatrick, and it was just a powerful explosion of the power of God. And we want to kind of give you a little journey. Why don't we remember some moments in time with what's called the Brownsville Revival. Yeah. And
amazing time, wasn't it?
Well, I think I believe you two were like heathen or something prior to that. Yeah. we all were.
At least that was.
I gotta tell you, like everybody, I'm hearing a feedback on there, and but everybody that so we're walking with the Lord, that when God began to move,
yeah,
and we have statements like, I think I just got saved.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think I just got saved. And people say, that can't be. It's by faith that you're saved. Listen, there's an authentic experience in God that we'll talk about that probably a little bit later on. But let me tell you about Father's Day 1995. I was working in ministry there with my spiritual father, Brother John Kilpatrick, and as you heard earlier programs, maybe let's make a reference to it because I don't want to talk too much about me in the context of that, but he entrusted me in ministry there, and I'm like, sure, are you sure you want me? And so, you know, we're working for the Lord, and several of us are, and prior to the revival and what's taken place in 1995, Father's Day 1995, Brother John Kilpatrick sat us all down, sat all the staff down, anybody was doing anything. And he said very specifically that if you're not right before God, you know, if you're not honoring God with the tithes and the offerings and you're on leadership here, and he's never done this. This is not something that he ever had done. And of course I was like, There's somebody not doing that.
Yeah, right. Right.
That was more naive. And then, and it was real difficult for him to say this. He said, but you can't be in leadership here if you do, because the cover the headship type thing. And so, and there was probably quite a few of us in that room. And then it was so hard. I mean, it's like a father delivering a word where I'm got to go after this. And he left, and he said something like, you know, in so many months, you know, it won't be then until I have, which is the person that she was overlooking that, but take a look at it. Mm-hmm. And by that time, everybody has a chance to get in the place, yeah. I guess they needed to be. But it wasn't much longer after that when he was willing to say, listen, it matters what the leadership's doing. Mm-hmm. It matters what the headship is doing. And think about it. I mean, how can you want God when we don't even honor him.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. we honor him. He says, you dishonor me. If I'm your father, where's my honor? Mm-hmm. And it was amazing, the beginning of that. And so this evangelist, it was Father's Day 1995, and Brother Kilpatrick wasn't going to come into Brownsville Assembly that day. He was the pastor. As a matter of fact, he was so beat up. He had lost his mother. She was just a real good mother to him, but he was also a real good son.
Yeah.
And he just had been beat up really bad, you know, ministry.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even going to come in that day, but a particular man had a single father who had a real rough situation. But he got Father of the Year, and he wanted to come in and be able to give him the. It's not that he didn't come in, you know, Brother Kilpatrick. It was just that day,
right?
And give him an award, and so he showed up. But Steve Hill, this evangelist named Steve Hill, who had come before. Steve Hill come this a different Steve Hill come right. before, and this Steve Hill was there, and he was supposed to speak that night.
Yeah,
and he was because it was just a real tough time, and we came in there that morning. Myself, Gary Hinkey, and maybe one or two other guys with us, and we were going to pray for Brother Kilpatrick before the service and just bless him, you know, as a promise keepers group actually. Yeah. As a promise keepers group. And because he turned it over to Steve that morning, he says, listen, you know, pray for him because he's going to be speaking this morning. And Brother Kilpatrick was just looking out the window. And you look back on things and you think, man, I wish I would have been able to empathize more.
Yeah.
Because I can empathize more.
You can empathize
more.
Today. I know you can.
So Steve's on fire. And so when we lay hands on him, we're actually getting blessed. He's not getting blessed. You know, we were coming there for our pastor. We wanted to bless our pastor
right. And
just pray for him before the service and all that. And let me tell you something. That's pretty powerful. You want to just encourage your pastor, you know, pray for them before they go to service. And just know, when you look at me out there in the midst of ever how you gather, know that I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you. That's powerful. Uh-huh. Versus like, I'm trying to take you out.
Exactly.
And so Steve's just like, man, he's telling us all these testimonies, and we've heard of, you know, evangelists come before. And so, he excited us. And so we go out there and we're sitting and listening to him preach on the wonders of the Lord. He was preaching on the wonders of the Lord and remembering the wonders of the Lord when David had to encourage himself in the Lord, which is pretty... I mean, that was God speaking to Brother Kilpatrick because he's done so many awesome things in the Lord and God has been with him, but the enemy just, a lot of things that would happen. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you just got to encourage yourself in the Lord, you know? And so Steve is preaching on that, but still it's like, okay, let's do this thing and go home.
Right.
And Steve's talking again and again about his experience and what happened. They're playing Amazing Grace on bagpipes, and I was on this boat and I was going across and, you know, but Brother Kilpatrick was sitting to the side, and it was just like, okay, and Steve's going, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you after this. I'm going to pray for you. And then finally, as soon as he finishes preaching, he comes out there and says, anybody wants prayer, come forward. And of course, because he was feeling so, you know, in that situation, Brother Kilpatrick is just like, oh, great, we're going to be here, you know, a long, long time. And little did all of us know that God loved him so much that he was about to hug him with a holy hug from heaven. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that so cool? On Father's Day.
He's like, man, I need to start acting like that. So then on Father's Day, then on Father's Day of all days for him. And so he's standing, Steve begins to pray for us and all of us out there. And it just seemed kind of standard. You know, you're talking about Assemblies of God situation. Orderly is one thing about, you know, Brother Kilpatrick, he's a man of order. Less order than he used to be. And all of a sudden he calls over, you know, Brother Kilpatrick to come pray with him. And he's like, oh, great. You know, and so he walks down, he puts his hand on Steve's back and he starts to pray with him. And next thing you know, God just shows up. And then once the shepherd, it wasn't what released revival was Brother Kilpatrick. God touched Brother Kilpatrick, and it was the presence of God. It was a river of God that literally turned his legs into rubber, and he had to be carried up by Tony, right? Tony up to the side of the podium. He's leaning on the podium, And he goes, "This is God. Get in." And he was like, that was it. It was just release.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And it was just a powerful time that was taking place in it at Brownsville that day. And we were just caught by surprise. You know, everybody, you know, people tell you, and it was just like, I mean, we prayed for a long time. Mm-hmm. He knew better than we knew. And he just led, you know, everybody into a direction that was right before God. God had given him a vision for what was going to happen in the future. And he sent an evangelist, of which he already had a relationship with and been connected with. And all of a sudden, just God exploded in this place. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. And I'm gonna share a little bit, and then John's going to share and about Steve. But this man was on fire.
Yeah,
he was on fire. And I remember, and we're just shocked. It takes a while. It's sort of like that survival book they said. You kind of, you're there, but you're not there type feeling. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to catch up with what God is doing. And you really think these moments last. It's going to be over with in just a moment. And I remember when I stood up for prayer, and no courtesy falls or anything like for anybody like that. And when he came by, and he barely touched the top of my head, and I barely touched it, and he said, you know, more Lord. It was like an angel went and hit me, literally threw me back.
Wow.
I went back off of my feet, hit the back of my head on a pew, and went down and didn't know nothing, no damage or nothing. I was just under the power of God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes sense in the King James Version. What meanest thou this? I'm out.
Wow.
I'm out. And the power of God just began to move in just a powerful way. And let me tell you something. If you've been looking for this and that, and you're trying to preach your way to this, and you're trying to pray your way to that, and you're trying to read your way to this, and you're trying to build your way to that, all you want is the presence of God. Mm. I mean, that's all you want, the presence of God. There's nothing like his presence. And and then we're going to talk to you. We come back from the break about some of those things. We're going to dedicate today to our brother in the Lord, a soldier, our general in the Lord, Steve. And we have some videos and some things we're going to show you. And we're just loaded with testimonies. You just got to figure which ones we're going to be able to say. And Steve, we remember you, and we're not going to put the torch out. It still burns. We're talking about a general. A general. Imagine what it's like right now. Right now, as you're getting this video ready, the introduction of Steve, right?
That's right.
Father's Day 1995.
Father's Day 1995, Brother Kilpatrick is introducing Steve. And it was just an amazing introduction, because you think about it, you didn't know what was going to happen. Nobody knew what was going to happen after this introduction.
Right.
And it just really even speaks about just what the genuineness of what was happening in Steve's life, that Steve wasn't promoting his ministry.
No.
Brother Kilpatrick invited Steve to come. There was something special.
And there was a previous, they've been connected for some time.
Well, I want you to listen to Brother.
Well, I just want to say this as you're listening to this. I want you to remember, as we soak on this, and hopefully there's a related link. I want you to remember this as a related link. Hopefully this is talking about 90 minutes in heaven.
Yes.
To begin to just, what is it like right now in heaven with this general being there that... Because this is what the Piper said, Don Piper said, that all those that touched him and that he touched, they came running to him to welcome him. Can you imagine the welcoming that's taking place in heaven right now? I mean, this is going to be forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be forever.
Yeah.
And it's never going to stop, because we're going to see Steve again.
That's right.
That's right.
Can you imagine? Like, let me tell you. It's like, oh, my goodness. Listen up right now. Father's Day, 1995.
When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down. The mountain shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor has the eye seen, any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him.
Jericho's were here Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, and they just did a super job, especially that last night. That guy preached the gospel, didn't he? The crowds were outstanding. He just did a great job. We enjoyed having the Jericho so much. And you would think I'd be back behind the pulpit this morning, but I'm not. I have a guest speaker with us this morning. I asked him to come. He didn't ask me to come. I booked him about a month ago. At that time, Brenda and I was so thrilled with what God was doing in our lives, excited. He called and told me that he had just gotten back from that great revival in London, England. And on the telephone, his excitement was contagious, and the power of God was so powerful, I felt just waves of the glory going over me while I talked to him. And I said, man, you've got to come to Brownsville and preach. He said, well, I don't know when I can. He said, the only time I got is Father's Day. I said, well, I'll miss the pulpit again, but it's important enough for me for you to come. And folks, this morning I'm introducing to you a young man that's not a stranger to any of us. He's probably got more of a heart for God than most people that I know in the ministry. He's a very humble young man, but he's full of the power of God. Always has been ever since I've known him. I remember when we laid hands on him and sent him to the mission field in Argentina. It was a great district council meeting when we laid hands on him, and God miraculously opened doors for he and his wife, Jerry, to go and work in that revival in Argentina. Since that time, he's been around the world several times. God is using him mightily. And he's here with us this morning. He's going to share with us what God is doing. And I want you to give him your best ear. Don't tune this man out, because he's telling something that I feel like every Christian needs to hear. Would you give a warm welcome to Steve Hill?
That was the beginning, the very beginning. And notice that there was relationship.
Yeah.
There was relationship. And he began to preach on the wonders of the Lord. And truly, you know, we sat and watched, and you're watching. You're thinking, as I was talking earlier about, you know, Brother Kilpatrick's situation, understand that he had prayed and sought and got us all praying over certain areas, and he labored and prayed and desired and wanted a move of God and wanted to be touched. And it's amazing. It's like God takes us to this point where we finally go, ugh.
Yeah.
And then God says, now. And you look at the situation right there, but understand that it didn't just happened,
right?
That these men are hungry for God, and there's one thing that moves God is hunger.
Yeah.
Hunger for him. And and it's amazing how one man's hunger can begin to just stir things. And tell us a testimony about you and Steve. When
prior to coming in contact with Steve in the Brownsville Revival, I was lost, totally away from God, miserable, doing everything that I thought I was supposed to be doing, going to college and trying to better myself, but I was worsening myself because I was lost and just
right.
My life was a mess. And a friend of mine, Miguel, actually told me that his parents were attending Brownsville, and he says, man, my parents are coming home at 2:00 and 3:00 in the morning from church.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, man, no one goes to church at 2:00 and 3:00 in the morning. What's are you crazy?
Right.
What's going on?
I've heard that before.
Yeah. And he says, man, they were inviting us out to go, you know, go out there and check this thing out. And I go, I said, okay, let's go. I think they even were bribing us with a free dinner or something like that. We're starving college students. And
that's the same thing with Pat.
So I go, yep, I'm there. So I'm there. And prior to, God had been dealing with me for a while and just preparing me for this moment.
His voice.
Yeah, his voice. And Steve's preaching this message. And I'm telling you that I felt this. I'm in the sanctuary, 5,000 people at least, you know. Actually, probably a little bit less at that point. It was very early on in the revival. And I felt like he was only speaking to me. And and he's, you know, and my heart is being just ripped to shreds. And I'm like, who is this man? What is he saying? And
isn't that powerful when God is moving? It's like, I'm the only one in the room.
Mm-hmm. I'm the only one in the room. Even from the beginning of worship, I'm looking at the people worship and the intensity of the Spirit of God. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like, what is happening in here?
Mm-hmm.
God's invading the room. It was this, I was there, but not there. And it was just an amazing encounter. And he preached this simple gospel, truth.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes were like fire, man. Those blue eyes, man, will pierce right through you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting all the way in the balcony, and he gives the altar call.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, nobody gave an altar call like Steve. You know, Steve's giving the altar call.
Right.
And my feet, I was so drawn. I couldn't help it. I was drawn. I got up and just came down and gave my life to the Lord and repented. Now, prior to, you have to understand, in my life, I was so away from God. And my parents, my mom was trying to witness to me. And I was so full of hate that at that time when she was trying to talk to me, I would warn my mom over the phone. I was in college. I said, Mom, if you mention Jesus just one more time, I'm not going to be able to talk to you. I'm going to hang up the phone on you. I don't want to do that. This is how just away from God I was, and just full of hate. And so I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm down in the altar, and just amazing, wonderful. And I go to shake Steve Hill's hand that day. I'll never forget this. I go to walk up to Steve and just say, you know, to the preacher, hey, man, you know, I responded to the message and, you know, thanks. And, you know, I don't know what I was going to say to him, but I just felt like I wanted to shake his hand. And when I walked up to Steve and I was about to say something, Steve, we start shaking hands and he says, "More Lord."
Yes.
"More Lord."
Yes.
Man, a bolt of lightning hit me. I fell to the ground. I started shaking like a fish out of water, sobbing and crying and rattling uncontrollably.
Right.
And it was just the love of God was just melting.
The power of God. The power of God. All we need is more of God.
That's right.
If you're trying everything out there, there's one thing God really showed us through the ministry of Steve Hill, a general who's gone to be with the Lord in the last couple hours, just yesterday, that all you need is more of Jesus. We are spending some time focusing on a general that has gone to be with the Lord, somebody that we had the privilege of being with at a outpouring of the presence of God at what we call the Brownsville Revival. And if you caught our earlier program, we talked about, you know, the beginning of it and what took place. But I remember, and we just want to kind of share some testimonies remembering Steve Hill. And I'm going to encourage you to remember Jerry, also a general in the Lord and just amazing woman and their kids. And in 90 minutes in heaven, think about that in regards to that testimony of what it's like, how people begin to receive you. And he'll be receiving for... think about that. But yes, Steve Hill has gone to be with the Lord, and he's a general.
Yeah.
We want to share about some of our testimonies because happened to be there on Father's Day 1995 when God poured himself out. But I remember that it took a while for us because we were so religious that I'm talking for everybody, but I'm talking probably for quite a few of us to understand the power of God, the presence of God versus the religion of man.
Mm.
And because it's awesome what's going on, but what does this mean in the context of life? And what does this mean? And I'll never forget because I had to go to California and after the first week of revival and I had to go to have a meeting in California. And I'll never forget leaving what God was doing in Pensacola and having to go all the way to California for a week or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. It's the longest week of my life.
Yeah, I bet.
And I was so longing because so often we try to explain things with our head, but it's when your heart's hungry for God that this thing's like, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, that plane flew so slow and it finally landed. As soon as that plane landed in Pensacola, I had Donna pick me up at the airport, my wife. We drove straight to the front doors of Brownsville Assembly of God Church, right in the front doors. I got out, I walked straight down.
Wow.
I was actually talking to Steve, by the way, when I was in California. It was the beginning of revival, obviously the first week. And I had Bill Holsinger had a cell phone. I said, "Listen, you know, carry your phone to him. I need prayer. I'm in a Jesuit priest retreat." And in a phone booth, and Steve grabs the phone. He's talking to me, and he's just like, you know, praying more the presence of God and more, Lord, and all that. And just the power of God just melts me in this phone booth. And I'm down in a phone booth in a Jesuit priest retreat in Applegate, California. And so when I came back, I was just so hungry for God. I walked straight down the middle of that church out, and Dick Rubin, which you're familiar with, was there and prayed for me. Power of God hit me, and I'm like, man, I am here.
Wow.
I am here. And it was amazing. At the beginning, we were just a whole bunch of broken folks that needed to be healed, so the world wasn't coming yet. And so we were just soaking in the presence of God. It was just soaking in the presence of God. And Brother Kilpatrick was just down soaking as well, and he so needed it. I always say, you know, when this happens, let me soak. I need it. I need a lot of soaking time. You want me to soak.
That's right.
And, but I remember, so the first week, you know, God's moving powerfully and we're just still trying to figure this out, but we're thinking it's just going to be a moment in time. We don't realize we have no grid for this.
Right.
And so, immediately parents just knew, they just instinctively knew, my kids have to get this. They have to get into God. And so we're walking down this long hallway because we had purchased a school at that time and re-roofed it and got the children that were there in children's church or whatever. Lane.
Van Lane.
Van Lane was there doing the children. And we're just walking. People that we've known each other, we weren't saying anything to each other.
Right.
We're walking silent. I could name a few of the names, but we're just looking, beelining towards our kids, going to get our kids because we want to get them into the presence of God. And we brought our kids out. Nobody's talking. We bring them right up there. And Steve takes our children. And he has them all hold hands in a circle. Makes a circle of about, you know, maybe 20 kids or something at a time. Mm-hmm. And Amber was one of them. And some other ones that we knew. And he held their hands and he just said, "More, Lord." Mm. And when I saw Amber touched, it was like all the air out of me left and I had no air.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, air came back into me. It's like God gave me a new spirit. That moment, as soon as my daughter was touched, my heart was so touched that he gave me a new spirit.
Wow.
That's all I can say, because if he wouldn't, if nothing would have came back in, I would have fallen over dead. And I thought that that was, you know, an odd situation until I remember Brad Ogden had the same situation. He was on the camera, running a camera one night. The power of God hit him, and God just took one spirit out of him, breathed a whole new, fresh anointing, a spirit in his life. He's like, you can't breathe. It's like, poosh. And it was like, wow, I think I just got saved. What was that? And so prior to that. And so the power of God just began to swirl, and it was like a river just going through this premises. And it was good. All you wanted to do is be there, right?
Yeah.
You were working. You were actually working for me at that time in the plastics company.
Yeah.
And how often did you see me?
Rarely.
Rarely.
Were you doing all the work?
Pretty much. Well, I did anyway.
Yeah. He found out later on that I was working when he had his own company.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was working.
Yeah, right.
Just wasn't getting dirty.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so you just wanted to be there in the presence of God. And so many people were being blessed. I think about, you know, Rhonda Owens. I think about... I could just name them for days. And people later on that said something negative about what was going on, like, "I remember you. I remember you under the power of God.
That's
remember you shaking and the power of God on you." And it's, don't lift your hand against what God is doing.
That's right.
But I saw that. It was powerful. Yeah. And so I remember one night that I was laying on under the power of God, you know, the God just in that river. And just as awesome. You just like, you just feel the presence of God. It's a weightiness.
Yeah.
It's a weightiness, the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, the top of my ear, like here, just started to getting like warm, you know, and it started getting a little bit more warm and spreading. I'm thinking, great, I've got an earache. It's like, this is not a time, but it's just all of a sudden began to spread. Then this air began to spread, and then all of a sudden it was like warm oil was being poured over me.
Mm.
The warm oil, the anointing of God was just being poured over me. And it was like, oh, yes, Lord, yes.
Yeah.
You know, it was just powerful moments of just healing. And somebody says, you know, what were you doing while you were on the floor? Getting healed, man. God's doing surgery on my heart. He's delivering me from all my stuff and things and encouraging me. And one night I remember I'm talking to God. I'm just like, God, yes, so here I am. Use me, God. And all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord, he said, okay. And he said, I'm taking you at your word.
Mm.
Put the fear of God. What was my word?
What did I say?
So many people say, God, use me, but they don't really mean it. And God, the fear of God hit me when he said, I'm taking you at your word. And of course, he did.
Yeah.
And there was so much word and anointing that at one point, I was so full of the word. I was almost choking on so much truth that it's like, it's time to give it out. It's time to give it out. And we've been pouring out, you know, ever since. But
I think about the revival and the intensity of the gospel being preached. This is a period in time now, pre-internet, pre-social media, pre-texting, and the world. I mean, it's just started just locally. And before you know it, there's a couple of states, and I remember Brother Kilpatrick standing up and just welcoming folks from surrounding states, neighboring states.
Mm-hmm.
And then those states start getting further and further in California, and then international.
Right.
And as those folks started to come, you start realizing this move of God is touching the entire world without any social media, with VHS tapes.
Yes.
And the world started coming to Pensacola.
Right. As a matter of fact, we have this video right here, right now. You got to take a look at this. Steve Hill, we are honoring Steve Hill, who's this general in the Lord, who we're fruit from him and Brother John Kilpatrick. birthed, this is birthed in the fires of revival. Listen up.
Everyone pray with me right now. The prayer we've been praying since Father's Day. Everyone pray out loud. Those of you in the chapel, pray with me. Those of you that hate me, that hate God, you hate this place, I want you to pray too. God haters, witches, warlocks, whoever you are, God lover or a God hater, we want everyone to pray right now out loud. Dear Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. In your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight's message will not take long. It is it's a direct word from the Lord. The messages this week have been tender. They've been loving. Last night I spoke to you on not yet, why we hesitate on coming to Jesus. All the reasons people won't come to the Lord, why they won't turn their lives over to Jesus. And I listed about 12 of them. If you want to get those, you can get the tape or the video. But the Lord is dealing with some folks tonight. I know He is. He loves you. He cares about you. That baptismal testimony service was an example of His love. Friend, there's nothing like those baptismals. I cry all the way through them. I cry all the way through them. Someone asked me tonight, a reporter asked me tonight, when I was weeping, sharing a story with the reporter just in private. And he's asking me about that very thing, about the tears. Well, friend, I've been delivered from so much. I've been set so free. And nothing else matters to me in life than to see changed lives. Nothing. See, the only thing we can take with us when we die, when it's all over, is people. That's all you can take with you. Everything else remains. The only thing you can take with you is people. So whatever you're doing that doesn't have to do with people making it to heaven is basically a waste. I'm talking about even the way you make a living. As you can be making a living, you can be providing for the family, but why? So you can raise your kids up in the admonition of the Lord. It should all have that one purpose, to get your kids to heaven. The purpose shouldn't be so your son doesn't have to suffer like you. The purpose should be so your son makes it to heaven. That's what matters more than anything else to me. One particular testimony, well, there's about 25 of them tonight that struck me, but one particular one that confirmed tonight's message was a young man who was there with his.
It's amazing, you know, these testimonies that would come night after night after night.
Yeah.
And I remember one particular man. We're about to go to a break, but we're honoring Steve Hill, a general in the Lord who's gone to be with Him. I can only imagine what it's like in heaven. But night after night in this revival, testimony after testimony, things like, you know, I was going to kill my parents.
Yeah. Testimonies. Oh, yeah.
I was riding down the road and God touched me, and I was listening. I watched Allison on the video.
VHS tape,
which was tech. That was it.
That was high tech back in the day.
But I remember I was there the night that she got, and I don't know if you have video of that, but
well, we can have it.
Yeah, we'll make sure we have that, but maybe you're watching it. She gave her testimony. As a matter of fact, we want to make sure we have it in our next program, because that was the video that began to really, you know, spark in the hearts of many when they saw this young college girl begin to talk about how my life, I was going in the wrong direction, and then the power of God hits her, and she begins to shake under the power of God, and her and Brother Kilpatrick began to just, and it was an amazing moment. So I want to make sure we're going to have that. And when you, it was just, I remember the night that she was touched like that, and God just moved in such a powerful way. We are honoring Steve Hill, a general in the Lord, and there's so much. I mean, obviously, when God moves such a powerful way for so long,
yeah.
I mean, this is like, oh, we could probably for at least 30, 90 days or something of that nature, you know, we could talk about the awesomeness of God. But I know that he preached message after message every single night. And at that time, we were wondering, like, you know, how could you do that? And you could do that when you abide.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. When you abide with God daily, He speaks to you daily. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have an abiding plan, we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. God loves you. He has a plan for your life, and He wants you to abide where at any moment, even if you had to do it every single day, that you could share an awesome word from the Lord. I remember White Camry Legend and
The arrows of the Lord.
The arrows of the Lord, mm-hmm. the traffic lights, the big gongs and the songs, all that different thing. But I remember, you know, when the power of God began to move, I remember let's just play a little bit of Allison when she's there with Brother Kilpatrick, when you're watching what's taking place to a young college girl. And this is like just sparked it around
August the 18th, 1995. So you're looking at maybe 2 or 3 months right into the revival.
Okay. Let's go.
Now, folks, when you see someone like this and you just make a snap judgment and you see someone doing something like this, you may say, oh, man, you know, what's going on? But I want to tell you, this girl, she's a brilliant girl. Her mother's a school teacher. Her father's a doctor, medical doctor. And these girls have been raised in Brownsville Assembly. I know their life, and they're godly girls. But God, during this revival, has gotten a hold of them. And her sister is Elizabeth, that's given her testimony on television and here on Friday night in the church. And this is Allison. And God uses her when it comes time for the altar call and things like that. He uses her in intercession. And you'll see her back there really under the power of the Holy Spirit beginning to intercede for lost souls. And she's never done anything like this. I've known her for many years. I've known these girls since they were little bitty girls. I mean, like this. I've known them. I've been their pastor. I know beyond any doubt whatsoever that these girls are being moved on by God's Spirit. And Allison, if you can, sweetheart, I want you to take just a moment and just share what the Lord's doing in your life and what's going on.
I'm 19 years old, and I've been through high school, and I'm in college now. And at the beginning of this revival, I didn't come for the first week. I was like everyone else. I wasn't so sure about it. And church had always been kind of just a requirement anyway. So it was the second Sunday of this revival that I came to the night service. And Steve preached on, I have a verse for it. It's in Matthew 6, 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And what Steve preached about that night was, you cannot hold on to the hand of God and onto the hand of the world at the same time. And all through high school and college, I've known God. Well, God has had a place in my heart, but he didn't really have a place in my life. And I never thought that God had anything to offer other than just sitting at church, and I'd never given him a chance to do anything in my life. So I was constantly running after the world. I was running after what I thought I had to have something that the world would give me. But whenever I heard that, what Steve preached, my eyes were opened. Like Steve preached last night, Satan, he blinds us. And I was blinded by worldly things that I thought I had to have, and worldly friends that I thought I had to have. And all it took to totally change my life was for me to listen and really hear what these people, these men of God, are trying to say, what God is trying to say. You know, the Bible says people, they have ears to hear, but they don't hear what people are trying to say and what God is trying to say to them. And I listened that night, and God totally opened my eyes. He changed my whole life. I was terribly depressed because I had enough of God in me to know what I was doing was wrong and to be miserable doing it. And I was in the most horrible position you can be in. God says himself, he'd rather spit you out of his mouth than have you be lukewarm, because you're no good to anybody unless you're hot or cold. So, I'm hot now.
It's amazing as you're watching the power of God and the testimony of God. And it makes me think about, you know, that the messages. And this one message we have from Steve, remembering Steve Hill, a general in the Lord, and he was preaching on hell, right?
Yes, he was preaching on hell. And he starts talking about, in this message, all the different people that have committed these heinous murders. And the title of the message is called Hell to Pay. And oftentimes people think that hell is reserved for the most evilest and wicked people, but it's reserved for those that don't know Jesus.
Right.
You can hear Steve's passion as he's talking about this a little bit.
Listen up.
America by the news media, the newspaper, internet, television, radio, by the crimes and the trials of serial rapists and killers. One of the men's name is John Evander Cooey from Florida, who murdered 9-year-old Jessica Lunsford. After kidnapping her from her home in the middle of the night, he took her to his trailer where he repeatedly raped her. And then he took the little child, the little 9-year-old, and buried the child sitting up alive. When I heard that, I cried watching it because they showed a picture of Jessica. And see, I've got kids, and I don't know how you respond to situations like that, but I see my child sitting in a grave as the dirt's being piled on top of them. In the flurry of all of this, Jessica's mother made this statement. He took her life. He will pay. He will pay. Jessica's father is quoted as saying, I hope you rot in hell. Then we had Joseph Edward Duncan III, who went into a house on May the 16th, took a hammer and bludgeoned 3 people to death, and then took the 2 small children, Shasta, age 8, and Dylan, age 9, threw them into his pickup truck, took them out, repeatedly raped Dylan, molested his family, eventually killing Dylan. By the grace of God, she was found at a Denny's with Duncan.
And it's amazing. Amazing what you're seeing take place as he's delivering this message about, because he ends this, and we're obviously our program's kind of limited here, is we all have fallen short. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we'll have more in our next program. We're going to continue this, honoring Steve Hill and his as a general before the Lord. And thousands and thousands and millions have come. I remember being in Denmark watching Danish sit there and watch Star Satellite as they're listening to Steve preach around the world. It's just powerful, powerful, powerful. We're talking about 4 programs back to back this week, talking about Steve Hill, a general who's gone to be with the Lord, and it's just like this massive amount of fruit.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you share? You know, what do you share? And that's what we're doing in these programs. We just want to remember Steve Hill, and we not only want to remember him and what he did, but we also want to remember him by being faithful to imitate him as those that have gone before him. So Hebrews tells us, the writer of Hebrews says, imitate those through faith of those that have gone on before you. And Steve Hill, to the last moment in his last breath here, he put it out for God. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's mailing out. His last newsletter was just You know.
Just came out, in fact, he wrote that the message that God gave him about avalanche, spiritual avalanche.
Yes.
And so many people last night were on Facebook, and they were, you know, sharing their thoughts and their memories of Steve Hill. And Jeremy Langlitz, who produced Spiritual Avalanche, I want you to hear to what he had to say. He said, "I'm sad to hear about the passing of Steve Hill. Having a chance to work with him on his most recent projects was a joy and an honor. I remember the day we videoed Spiritual Avalanche. He was in so much pain that I didn't think he'd finish the recording. And yet, because of his passion to preach, he stuck in there. It was inspiring. There is truly nothing that can stop a man with passion."
You know, it's interesting about Jeremy, because his mother is a nurse, and I remember the power of God moving so powerfully. He was a young teen back then, and maybe about 15, 16, maybe 15. And his family had a truck, like a small Datsun or Toyota truck or something of that nature, with a camper, not camper shell, but a cover on the back of it. And power of God just came down, and Jeremy was out. He was totally out and not moving, but alive. And it was getting late and early in the morning, not late at night. It was getting early in the morning, and his mother had to go to work. And so I picked Jeremy up. It was, you know, I picked him up. He was small then. I picked him up and carried him all the way out the door of Brownsville, carried him into the parking lot, and laid him over a spare tire in the back of the truck.
Wow.
And he was totally just in the glory of God.
Wow.
And you just think about today, you know, that he was producing Avalanche and he's ministering. Yeah. And it's just so cool to see. You know, we have to remember where we come from.
That's right.
And it's just amazing how people... the influence. I remember, well, all kinds of things have happened. I'm talking about, anyway, so.
What do you think about Steve's commitment to just continue to keep, you know, working hard for the Lord all the way to the very end? And that's just indicative of who Steve was. I mean, even, you know, he's been dealing with cancer for a while, and the Lord healed him.
Right.
And he still said, "Lord, give me a chance. Let me keep going. Let me keep sharing the gospel." And it's just amazing to see that tenacity.
Well, I remember one night I was in the balcony, and Brownsville Assembly of God Church has a balcony. And it's packed, and Steve is at the podium, and he's preaching, as he always preaches, salvation and preaching. And I'm looking, the altars are packed, the pew areas are packed, everything's packed, the balcony's packed. And when I'm standing in the middle of the balcony looking down over that glass, because they had glass there around, and the Lord just gave me a vision, and I'm watching, and all I could see is cotton. Everything was cotton.
Wow.
And it was like he could see Steve. But all the people around him, if you imagine, it's a half round, that it was just filled with cotton.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a cotton field. And he was just preaching to that cotton field, bringing in the harvest. And I'll never forget it. I mean, obviously, if I had artists or talked to Lewis or something, you know, to draw that out. But it was just a beautiful vision in the Lord. I remember also I was in the balcony one night as we were moving and ministering and praying for folks and you know, God began to move, it was just powerful that, just without any hoopla or anything, God just reached down and totally healed me. I'll never forget.
Oh, wow.
He healed me and, freed me. Oh, I could eat hot wings after God. I was never able to eat foods like that because of, I needed a healing, and God healed me in his presence. The presence of God is just so powerful. But I remember every single night, you know, Steve would just work every night. And when he first got there, and began to minister, it was just a small leadership team that was there. I remember going to his hotel. He stayed off Davis Highway in some hotel situation over there, and carrying him a big plate of fruit, and because you're working all the time. It's like, nah, the suits would be totally soaked. And the church was buying him another suit the next time just so he could rotate them out. And he was like, "We're not going to let this thing go. We're gonna stay with God as long as..." And nobody knew. Would it go into the week? Would it go?
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. But the tenacity. One thing you learn about Steve, you know, who we're talking and remembering Steve Hill, a general in the Lord who is now with the Lord, is that it's called the working of miracles.
Yeah.
The working of ministry. That it takes effort. It takes energy. It's not revival from heaven in the context. It just falls on you.
That's right.
That you got to love folks. I mean, Steve loved folks.
Yeah.
I mean, he loved the worst of the folks, and he loved what religion would say the best of the folks.
Yeah.
And but he worked. He would work until his suits were saturated. He would pray for hours upon hours and upon hours upon hours. And until people started realizing, I remember that myself and Donna and a few others, we got together and we're like, we're going to have to get a prayer team together. Rose Compton was the administrative assistant of Brother Kilpatrick. And so we said, we had to start kind of unfolding how to do this thing.
Right.
And so we thought we got to set up a little kind of interview thing. We're talking to people about, you know, what this is, what God is doing. And what do you think about it? Do you want to help out and pray for folks? And so we had like a prayer team begin to come together. Mm-hmm. And we saw the power of God. So the anointing that was on Steve Hill and on Brother Kilpatrick, when people would get up under that, when they would say, God, I'm here. I realize this is what you're doing, and you're doing it through these men. That if I'll get up under that, then that same anointing, like Psalms 133, it just flowed right down to every single person who was willing to go out there and reach after somebody in the name of Jesus. More of the Lord, and it was like just as strong as the anointing was at the beard, it was that strong at the skirt. And it just really showed you that that the order of God and how important that is, and how to, you know, and bright lights attract all kinds of things. And having that, there's one thing about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick is that as an apostle and a pastor, I mean, he pastored that thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he shepherded it, and he made sure, and he watched over it. And it was just amazing to watch the evangelist and an apostle work together.
Yeah.
And but the miracle after miracle. And I remember one night I was in the sound booth, and which was kind of out in the audience area, and we're sitting there because you could barely, people were coming from all over the world, so we would not take their places. We would just kind of find a place to be. And I was on a stool in the sound booth, and as you know, Steve was preaching, all sometimes the glory of God would just come down so powerfully, and it's like, imagine just a weight, a big heavy blanket, and it just started coming down on top of me, where it pushed me down and pushed me down, it pushed me down, and it wasn't like a bad push, but it's just like, it was so heavy I could not even sit up. And next thing you know, all I know, I'm on the floor, and it literally just weighted me down. But right before, you know, revival happened, and I'd never experienced anything like this before prior to God doing what he did. God gave me a dream where I actually fell under the power of God, and God was moving, and he let me experience it before it actually happened. But Steve Hill worked so hard and tirelessly time and time again. And I remember he got really frustrated and as an evangelist, because people, you know, just would kind of just stay and they wouldn't go and go out and tell anybody. He began to put packages together, like video packages and tapes, and like, go carry these things out. And even to the point that he hired a friend of mine who had this huge, you know, 8 foot in diameter spotlight, and he would take it and he would just shine this light, come. And it was just a dramatic type of situation, trying to get people, you know, new folks coming. And what's interesting too is that how the whole world was touched. But yet it was like the city of Pensacola, although shaken and stirred, it was like, I really believe that that's going to even continue on. You know, more is going to come. It's still coming. But just a powerful, powerful moment.
Amazing moment. And also the connectivity. I mean, this is documented in church history as one of the major moves of God to hit our nation, which speaks, you know, huge considering the powerful moves of God that happened. And also, how awesome it was that Steve Hill was able to preach the 1 year anniversary service of the Azusa Street Revival and the connectivity of that in California. This is just absolutely amazing. When you're talking about the weighty glory, you know, I remember those times where, you know, after you've received prayer and you're out, the best analogy I can come up with is when you go get an x-ray and they put that heavy blanket on you. That's what it felt like. It was just the most amazing feeling that just kept pressing on you. It didn't hurt you, but God was just there. He was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome what God was doing there.
We are remembering a general who's gone to be with the Lord just yesterday, actually a few hours ago, really, Steve Hill. And when you're listening to VFN TV and the daily radio program, and what you're hearing coming out of all this, was birthed in the fires of that revival.
That's right.
The power of God. And it's just, at this moment, we want to take this moment right now, this one thing that God has just gifted, anointed Steve Hill for is calling people to God, calling them to God. And it was such a huge draw that you're thinking, I know I just came the last 12 That's times, right. but I think I need to go again. Mm-hmm. You want to hear this altar call. As he finished delivering his message, he begins to call them in. And imagine that cotton field where he's just calling in the harvest right here. Listen up to this altar call coming. Maybe you need to make a decision. Maybe you have wandered away from the Lord. Maybe you did make a decision at that day, but you wandered away from God. Today is your day. Today, to honor God and to honor this man. To say, you know what? Today, God, I'm going to give my life back to you. Maybe he's drawing you now.
Let's take care of business. Let's take care of our relationship with Jesus. If you're going to stand there in the pew and say, I'm going to take care of this later, friend, you are dead wrong. That is pride, and that itself will damn your soul. That's what took Lucifer down from heaven, is pride. If you're saying, I'm going to do this on my own, in my own secret place, what are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you not going to confess him? He will confess you if you'll confess him. He won't be ashamed of you if you won't be ashamed of him, friend. Besides, he was crucified on Calvary naked for you. For you, what's the big deal about walking from the balcony down here? He did all that for you and you can't walk 20 feet. He did all that for you in the chapel and you can't walk 50 feet down to the altar and get prayer. No, sir, friend. It's time to get right with God. It's time, young people, children, grandpas, mom and dad, uncles and aunts, anyone in this room that's away from God, the door tonight is wide open. This is a chance for you, friend, of a lifetime. And for some of you, it's your absolute last chance. I believe that with all my heart. You are going to harden your heart. It's going to be so hard. The Lord won't be able to get through, friend. Don't harden your heart. Let your heart melt and say, Holy Ghost, I've had it with this life. I want forgiveness. I want to come clean. I want to be as white as snow. I want to live a different life. Shh. Ooh. Shh. Charity, we're going to wait on Run to the Mercy Seat. Right now, I want the choir. I want you to sing like you've never sung before. As soon as they begin singing, if you need forgiveness, if you're away from God, I want you to come right now. Come right now. Spoken to me. We're not going to stop until every last person has come down here. So you might as well step out now. If God's dealing with your heart, come on, stay on your face before the Lord. Let the Lord wash you clean tonight. Come on.
Jesus, cleanse me. Take my sins away. I repent of my sins. Don't watch. Repent. Get right with God. He's knocking. He's calling. He's speaking to your heart. Get your heart right with God. Jesus loves you. He loves you. Now is the time. Today is the day. Get right with the Lord. Get right with the Lord. I beg of you, get right with the Lord. Now is the time. Now is the time. In the chapel, God's not finished. Come on. Come on. Come on. Listen to your heart. What's the Lord saying to you, friend? Come on. Come on. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I know all about him, but I don't know him. Come on, friend. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on down. God bless you. Charity, get ready to sing. Those of you at the altar, stay right where you are. Don't anyone move.
It's amazing watching this altar call. We're going to continue on as Charity begins to sing in just a moment. We get to remember, this is the heart cry of Steve. If we want to remember Steve, you'll remember Steve as one who cried out for your soul, who understood what weighed in the balance. And if we can move that video, make sure that's setting up right now to Charity right there. It's 3 minutes. We want to be able to get this in there, and this is maybe that's you right now. God's just calling out for your heart, and he's saying he wants you. He says, come, 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 come. And you think about it, it's like come running to the mercy seat. Listen up.
Get up right now. Don't wait on anybody else.
You're in the dark.
Come on.
Where everything is unknown. I face the power of sin on my own. I did not know of a place where I could go, where I could find a way to heal my wounded soul. He said that I could come into his presence without fear, into the holy place where his mercy covers me. I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus is coming. He said his grace will cover me, his blood will belong breathing. It will
God touching the hearts of so many folks, and maybe that's he's touching the heart for you. Maybe the Lord's calling you. Maybe he's saying to you, you know, that's me. I should have responded to the altar call. And you have to understand the reason why we're here is because we were birthed out of the fires of revival.
That's right.
And so many people came to the Lord and were drawn to him. But I know that a lot of people didn't respond.
Yeah.
And it's like you missed this opportunity. But today is your opportunity. I mean, think about it. Today is your opportunity to come running to the mercy seat. And you think about this, that when a billion souls are going to come running to the Lord and this harvest is about to break loose on the face of the earth, and maybe you've gone astray. Maybe you were once walking with God. Maybe you're one of those ones that's like Allison talked about. You got enough of God in you that, yeah, you're running after the world and you're just most miserable of all. And you're thinking, you know what? I'm just like her. I need to come to God.
Yeah.
You know, today is your day, right?
That's
today
right.
Is the day. And we want to honor Steve Hill by just saying, listen, come. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Give your life to Jesus. God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. And this moment in time, this fact that you're actually watching today on Christian Television Network, or you're listening to VFN Radio, it's VFN TV, the daily radio program, wherever you're getting us, this is God talking to you and saying, you know what? I love you. I got a plan for your life. I will forgive you. I will restore you. I will use you. Understand, Steve Hill was in prison at the end of a drug-addicted horrific moment in his life, but he cried out to Jesus, and God saved him and restored him. And now millions across the earth have been touched because of this man's faithfulness and love for God. Make a decision. If that's you, go to meetmyfather.org. Make a decision. You've got to meet our Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.